Hope you got your Bibles with you, and you can get them open and go over to 1 John chapter 4. This sermon this morning is a reminder specifically to the men in the congregation. Valentine's Day is this week, okay? Now, it's usually beginning of February. I like to preach on the subject of love, and the Bible has a great deal to say on this matter. So I want to put our minds and our thoughts there on the love of God, what it means to love. I talked a little bit about it last week, and we're going to talk a bit more this morning about God being love and ask the question, how can God be love? The scripture didn't say that love is God, but that God is love. His number one defining quality of who our Creator is, and that enduring virtue is His love. Before we get to reading and our study and some thoughts that go along with this, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are gracious to us, and we see your love every day. We see it in our blessings and the families that you've given us, the homes that we have. Father, the friends that we have around us, our church family. Father, we know the love, your love, through Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you bless us and fill our hearts with the love that only comes from you. Help us, Father, to be obedient to you, knowing that you are the one that gives us commands and instructions that are good for us, necessary for us, that it all comes from your love. Father, help us to worship you even more, to be more like you, because you are love. We ask your blessings upon our study now, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Before we get to reading 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, I want you to think about a few things. Can you imagine a world without love? Can you imagine a world without compassion? Without mercy? Our world didn't have to be the way that it is. But it is a world that I definitely see the imprint of love in it. And most people would agree there is no greater virtue than love. Love is not merely an emotion, but it is a virtue, and it stands out as it's a basis for which we do all that we do. And it's a basis for our moral character, the way that we behave. And it's a foundation of which Christ preached the gospel to us. It's the reason we have the Word of God, and why God sent Jesus Christ in the first place is because of love. So imagine a world without love. I don't want to. Do you want to live in that world? I don't want to. I don't want to have any part in a world like that. In the state in which we live in the world today, we have a world that is created out of love. But in rebellion, in man's rebellion, we have distorted love. People have come up with their own definitions of love that are not aligned with what the Bible says and what is actually true. I want you to think about this as well as we're contemplating this subject here of love. Where did love originate from? Where did it originate from? The virtue of love, as far as I can see, can only have three possible sources, and this is usually what you'll hear talked about. At this time, three possible origins or sources, okay? And the first one is that we often hear a lot is that, you know what love is? Love is merely a survival instinct. Man has evolved with this survival instinct and this care and compassion we have for one another, and it just happened to be this way, and we put a label on it, and we call it love. Is that love? Is that the world we live in, that we've simply evolved to survive and that it's a survival instinct? Or is it this, that people just came up with the idea, men came up with the idea, and we invented the concept of love, and it's not real? Or maybe it's just something we came up with, okay? Or maybe it's a blend of both, the survival instinct and a little bit of an idea in our imagination, and they put it all together. So those are your first two options. And I often hear that. I've often hear people, well, you know, love's not real. It's just a made up, or it's just a survival instinct that's come along and is embedded in human nature. That's all it is. Or your only third other option is that love really doesn't have an origin. Love is eternal, because God is love. And that the ultimate purpose of our existence and humanity and the universe is love, compassion. and caring for one another, and that this fundamental quality and virtue of God is demonstrated in His creation, and we can see it in part in this world and completely in another way. We'll talk about the perfection of love in a minute. But I ask you again, what world do you want to live in? I want to live in a world filled with love. Ultimately, this world is filled with sin, it's filled with death, and it's not until Christ returns in the resurrection that we'll have a new heaven, a new earth. We'll have a new city that God promises to us that we will live in, where love will have its full life and flourishment through Jesus Christ. But as I look at this, I don't see love as merely a nice idea. I don't perceive it as merely an instinct, but that it is eternal and it is who God is. God is love. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read the passage around that speaks about God being love and what John is saying here as he's guided by God's Holy Spirit. So 1 John chapter 4, let's read verses 7 through 11. This is what we see. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. We'll just pause for a minute. You're to love one another. Christians are to love one another. The very reason that Jesus tells us to love our neighbor, started with Moses, comes through Jesus. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. Why? Because love is of God. It's from God. It originates from Him. That's what John is saying here. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now we would say, well, don't most people love? Well, yes. And the connection here is that we came from God, and God made us, we're His offspring. So that is in all of us at some degree or one or the other, and some have distorted it and twisted it and done all kinds of wicked things with it. And all we can do is find a way to restore it, and God gives us that way. We'll come back to that in a moment. But as we continue to read right here in verse 8, it says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. The love of God has been displayed to us. How? That God has sent His only begotten Son into the world. That's the ultimate way which God has demonstrated to us what love is. You can back up to 1 John 3:16 and read it again. That's how we know love is because of Jesus Christ, His life, the way that He behaved. I think a lot of people would not define love the way that Christ is in His life. They would say, oh, you know, Jesus said some things that are tough and hard to do. But every bit of it comes from love and the love of God in which God has created us and cared for us. So God has shown His love by His only begotten Son into the world by sending Him that we might live through Him. And in this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word there means atonement. In other words, He brings peace. Jesus brings peace and atonement for our sins, appeasement. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We see the foundation of love, the way that we are to behave as Christians, how we are to care for one another. We talked about this last week when we went into 1 John chapter 5, where it says, even if you love other brethren, you're going to keep God's commandments, and spoke a lot about keeping God's commandments last week. This, I want to look at the very nature of God this morning, who He is. And so when we think about this, do you know God? Are you growing in your love? Do you have compassion toward others? How do you react to those who do you wrong? How do you react to those who persecute you? How do you behave toward your enemies? Do you talk about them behind their back? How do you behave? What would Christ tell us? And then the next question is, it's mentioned right here in the text, are you born of God? If you're born of God, then you know His love. And we know His love, again, through Jesus Christ. As I read these things, they're amazing to me. It makes me think of a lot of 1 Corinthians 13, often called the love chapter. Part of that was read this morning. And Dane read for us that you can give your body to be burned, you can give all your money away to feed the poor, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. It doesn't matter. And it needs to come from love. It needs to come from God. It's not about show. It's not a display of oneself. It's because I'm behaving like my Creator. I'm made in His likeness. And He wants me to love others and be compassionate toward others. What we see in the Bible is love is the ultimate quality and the virtue of God. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, you know, he talks about faith, hope, and love. And then he says what? The greatest of these is love. And the whole chapter is about there being a better way. When people were trying to show up and show that they're better and greater than one another in the church at Corinth. Remember that? You can read 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 13 is the conclusion of it, where Paul says, here's a better way. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. When we look at the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 20 to 21, what do we read there? What's at the first, the beginning of the list of the nine qualities of the fruit of the Spirit? Love is. Love is number one. And this is what God wants for us. I love talking about this and the very point that God is love. And not only does it tell us how to behave, what our moral life is like, it's also an evidence for God's existence. When we think about where love comes from, as I pointed out from the very beginning, it's either a survival instinct or some idea that somebody made up, or love is eternal. And if love being eternal, then there must be someone who's constantly been loving through all of eternity. And that is our God. Love cannot exist without a person to possess love. So how can God be love? And I think some people would say, well, I don't know about the God of the Bible. What standard are they judging the Bible by? What definition are they using to judge God by? You can't find love under a microscope or look through a telescope into space. This is something outside of science. This is what we know and we experience and we can see every day that we can observe in our world and in creation. That this world has a purpose and that God has given that purpose in His love. Furthermore, be a little bit logical with love. I like the syllogism. I love using logic and reason, and there's different ways of saying this, but I think this stands out true to me as I see it right here in the scriptures as well. If there is no God, then love is not eternal. It has not always existed. All right, but if love has always existed, then God exists. That's the reasoning behind it. That's when I see here and I read here in the scriptures that God is love, I take from it and I see, yeah, that's the world that I live in. So do you want to live in a world where God is love? I do. And we're moving in that direction. And the ultimate blessing that has been given to us is through Jesus Christ, His demonstration of love. The Bible presents a world where God is love. That's what the Bible teaches. And the Bible also teaches us that we're made in His likeness. We're made in the image of God. Tells us the purpose of that. When we go to Hebrews chapter 1, we see that Christ is the exact imprint of God. He is the exact image of God by which we were all created. And for this reason, when we have commandments from God and we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. It's all out of that care and that compassion and the love that God has given to us. I want to share with you a few other scriptures that tie into this. Some of them were mentioned last week. There's anticipation. Nobody knew what I was preaching on last Sunday morning. But we had a few comments, even from the Lord's table, in regards to love. So, I think the other thing is knowing that God has created the world, we see the world in the state it's in, that it's lacking love. I think we would agree with that. It's lacking love. We're in a fallen world where there's death and there's sin and there's suffering and there is rebellion against God. So what do we need? What does the world need? It needs a source, unlike any other. It needs a foundation for love like any other. And that sacrificial love we see in Jesus Christ. The world needs a Savior. And so, as we're getting the big picture of this, we see the whole purpose of creation. We see what God has done, how amazing it is. And we also see that the lack of love shows that we need Jesus Christ. I want to read another section here from 1 John chapter 4. So stay right there in 1 John 4 and look with me in verses 14 through 16. 14 through 16. And John says this, "And if we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world," there it is again, God demonstrating his love by Jesus Christ. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So my relationship is dependent on God abiding with me and me being with God and us being together is by me believing and confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God sent him into the world. We've seen that before. We've read that in scriptures. It says in the book of Acts, we see that Romans chapter 10, we need to confess Christ to be saved. And in here, it is a recognition of the love of God. Look at verse 16, and he says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we're believing in the love of God. And why is it that so many people don't think of God that way and don't want to believe in God? Because they don't see the love that God has demonstrated in Christ. And then again in verse 16, John says, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And specifically, this is not any love. This is not the love that you define. It's the love that God has defined, that God has set forth in Jesus Christ. That's where we abide. Think about the things that Jesus has said and taught in regards to this. I think one of the passages that came to mind last Sunday morning, as I recall, was John 15 and verse 13. I didn't share that one, but it is worth noting and noting again over and over, where Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than that he laid down his life for his friends. You know, the word friends in Greek in the Bible, when you read it, means someone that you love. It's a form of the word phileo, meaning brotherly love. So you care for your friends. You lay down your life. You're willing to lay down your life for your family. Why? Now, most men in here, we would say that. I hope every man would say, yeah, I would lay down my life for my family. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to sacrifice myself. Why? Because that comes from love. And it's an example that's reflected in Jesus Christ. And the character that we should have. The other passage that comes to mind from John, 1 John 3, verse 16, if you want to back up a chapter. You see, this by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Christ defines love. Or you might think of passages like Romans 5, 8, one of my personal favorites. But God demonstrated his own love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And therefore, we know love. And Romans 8 tells us in verse 37 to 39, gives us a long list there. Then you can go back and read in Romans 8, 37 to 39, and tells us that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And what we see from the Bible is it reveals the state of the world that we're in. Love has been distorted. And the scriptures warn us, says in the latter days, what will happen? In 2 Timothy, you remember this, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it says that people will be lovers of what? Lovers of themselves, and lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure in the last days. They're not about the love of God, they're in rebellion against him. They've distorted it. There's only one who can save them, only one who can restore them. Today, when you see things on the news, you see people trying to push politicians to be aligned with this idea and that idea, and a lot of it being in rebellion against God's plan, his institution of marriage in the home. It's constantly under attack. You have one community giving their own definition, saying, we'll tell you what love is, and ignoring what God says and what Christ has demonstrated. Jesus Christ himself is, you know, God instituted and he made marriage, and Christ himself says that in the beginning God created them man and woman, male and female he created them. He also goes on to say, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. No one changes that. No one redefines what God has set. Those who are doing that are in rebellion against God, and they're showing their lack of love. I'm going to back up another chapter into 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and look in verses 3 through 6. We see some of that rebellion. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And John says, and now this we know, that we know him if we keep his commandments. Do you know God? And those who are rebelling against his commands, not only do they not love him, they don't know him. Verse 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There are a lot of people out there who say, I know God. They'll even say, I love God. And yet they have the book and the Bible before them, and yet they ignore many of the commandments that are right there. They don't want to know them. They don't want to know God. And there are many preachers that stand in pulpits in different churches who don't know God. And I hope I'm not one of them. I pray and I study the scriptures not to be. But look at verse 5. It says, "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, completed in him. And by this we know that we are in him. We are in God, we are in Christ. And he who says he abides in him ought himself also walk just as he walked." And that's implicit that God is Christ, and we need to behave and walk like him. I think the world today will say, you know, "I don't like the commandments of God. I don't like his words." And sometimes Christ's love is a tough love. Listen to what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. He says, "As many as I love, I what? I rebuke and chasten." And the Bible tells us that our Heavenly Father chastens us and disciplines us. The book of Hebrews tells us that very clearly. Hebrews chapter 12, you can go and read it. So I encourage you this morning to think about this. God is love. What does that mean? Love means repentance. When Jesus was asked about those who had died from a tower falling on them in Luke chapter 13, what did he say in verse 3 and then in verse 5 in regards to it? He also, they asked him about those that Pontius Pilate had killed at the altar in the temple. And both times on that same occasion, talking about current events, he says, "Repent and you will likewise perish." Why does Jesus say that? Because he loves us. He cares for us. He wants us to change. He wants our minds to change, our hearts to change, for us to turn from wickedness and evil and to be faithful to him. And then in the end, you cannot have the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit without love, without the love of God dwelling within you and your mind and your heart and the way that you behave. So in 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to go back there and look with me in verses 12 and 13. 1 John 4, 12 and 13. "No one has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us, been completed in us. And by this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." We know that the fruit of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit lives within us, the first of that, again, is love. And here the scripture says, when God dwells within us, to demonstrate that God's Spirit is within us is not that we do any kind of spiritual gift or that we can suddenly speak in the tongues of angels, like some people claim. What does the Bible tell us about the qualities of someone who is led by the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, that they love, and they love the way that God loves. That they want people to repent. They want people to follow God and his ways, his commandments. That's love. They're willing to lay their life down for others. Or as it says there in 1 John 3, following Christ's example, when they see their brother in need, they give to him, because that's love. That's what the scriptures teach. You go to 1 John chapter 3 and just look at verse 24. 1 John 3, 24, it says, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. You abide in God, you abide by God and with him, and he is in him." God is in us. How does God abide in us? It says, "And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." By the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Romans chapter 5 talks about this in even more detail. I've already referenced that earlier. But it says there in the text that God's Holy Spirit pours love into our hearts. That's a beautiful thought to think of. God by his Holy Spirit. Another work of God's Holy Spirit is that he pours love into our hearts. Is that there? Is the love of God in your hearts this morning? I encourage you, go to the scriptures, study God's word, listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ. This makes me think of Luke chapter 7. And in Luke 7, remember at the end of the book there, there's a woman who comes in, and Jesus is sitting at Simon the Pharisee's house. And the woman comes in, and she does what? She weeps over his feet and cleans them and anoints them with oil and wipes them clean with her hair. Her hair is hanging down. It's exposed, and that's a sign of humility in that culture. She is completely humbled. And Jesus asked Simon, you know, who loves God more, the one who's been forgiven of little or the one who's been forgiven of much? And he says, the one who's been forgiven of much, he's going to love more. If this morning you're asking the question, and it's a good question for every one of us to ask, do I love God and am I growing in my love? I think the more that we recognize how great our sin and how great our rebellion is against God and what we've been forgiven of, then the more, is what Jesus says, the more we'll love Him. The more we love God. And the more that I love God, the more I'm going to be devoted to His instructions and His commandments and following the truth. Along with those lines, the commands of God will now mean a lot more to us when we love Him and we know that God is love. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Many of us are familiar with this scripture. The writer of Hebrews says, "And let us consider one another in order to do what?" It says, "To stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Our God is love. We can see it in the world. We can see it in His creation. We can ultimately see it in Jesus Christ. And I'm imploring you this morning, if you love God and you know the gospel, obey it. And the gospel is that God sent His Son and died for us. He died, He was buried, and on the third day He rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. That's the gospel. And we unite with Christ in that gospel, and we obey that gospel, it says in Colossians 2 and Romans chapter 6. When we die to our sins, when we're buried in the waters of baptism, and we rise to walk in the newness of life. And if you've died to your sins, you've repented, and you believe, and you're willing to confess your faith in Christ, you can be baptized, you can be united with Christ in the gospel this morning. You have all your sins washed away. If you need any encouragement, any prayers now, you can come forward. Let's stand and let's sing together.